This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Time to focus on another complex international relationship. Although the president was keen to paper over any mention of complexities at the White House yesterday.
The United States and Saudi Arabia have an extraordinary friendship and relationship that dates back to Franklin Roosevelt and King Faisal, and we are continuing to build that relationship during a very challenging time.
A challenging time. So challenging, in fact, that Saudi King Salman didn't make it to the Gulf Nations Summit in Washington. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef attended in his absence. The Saudis aren't pleased with the impending Iran nuclear deal. They aren't inclined to restrain their military activities in Yemen these days, where Saudi forces are fighting Iranian-backed insurgents. The Gulf nations seem to be uncertain exactly where the U.S. stands these days and are taking an independent stand on a variety of regional issues. Joining us now is Ayam Kamal, Middle East Director for the Eurasia Group, a New York-based political risk consultancy. Mr. Kamal, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
How independent do you think Saudi Arabia is behaving here, and how much of a signal is this that King Salman didn't come?
I think this is a signal about this direct conversation with the Obama administration and the president's policies and his engagement with Iran. The Saudi king could have attended and left all the details to his staff or to the crown prince. Instead, he demonstrated or tried to send a very clear message that the outcome of the meeting will not be very productive from the Saudi viewpoint. So I think this is a very clear outcome over here, limiting expectations that the meeting will not reach anything strategic.
And I think it's fair to say that the Saudis hold more cards here than the White House in terms of the oil weapon, in terms of their strategic presence in the region. And the U.S., you know, is on the other side of the world in many ways.
Well, I think, John, that the U.S. remains an indispensable ally. The Saudis do not have anyone else that can provide the security or the security guarantees that they need to protect themselves against Iran, against a threat from an Islamic State, against really regional instability. I think that's the key issue here, that the Saudis want more explicit security guarantees, an agreement with the U.S. ratified by Congress where there's some form of mutual defense or defense against any threat.
But what if I just push you on this? Perhaps what the Saudis are signaling is that, in fact, they don't believe the U.S. can give those security guarantees, that the situation is so chaotic and hasn't changed regarding ISIS and the chaos in Syria, that the Saudis are saying, look, we're going to have to do this on our own. We see your agreement with Iran, and we really feel as though we're left out in the cold here.
Well, John, I don't think that the U.S. is abandoning the Saudis and the other Gulf monarchies. The Iranian issue and nuclear negotiations between Iran and the West are about just that issue. It will not involve a diplomatic engagement or rapprochement between Washington and Tehran. I think that's the key message that the president needs to deliver to the Saudis and the Gulf partners.
So you're predicting a relatively awkward and maybe chilly meeting up there at Camp David.
Absolutely. I don't think that the meeting will reach anything strategic. What could happen, really, John, here is a real discussion over what needs to happen in the future to move closer towards agreement on structural issues, on the security partnership. But already from the presence or lack of presence, really, of the Saudi king, the Bahraini king, and others, we're already seeing expectations limited. What the Obama administration can walk out of is really another conversation or beginning one step towards a broader conversation with the Gulf leaders. But in terms of this specific Camp David talks, I don't think we're likely to reach anything strategic.
Ayam Kamal, Middle East Director for the Eurasia Group, a New York-based political risk consultancy. Thanks so much.
Thank you.